We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Them fucking dogs. That's what I told them.
Hope it doesn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Yo, yo, yo. It is the 100 Sanford Podcast. We are back in the building. It's your boy Lamar Lovelace, and I am here with Mr. George Foster. What's up, George?
I'm back. Back like I never left. 100 Sanford. This week's 100 Sanford. Let's make it another good one, man. We've been having a good time with this man talking some dog ball. We got some real football happening now. You know what I mean? Not the pajama Olympics. A little nice little shirt and your little t-shirt and shorts and your patty caking. No, it's the real deal now.
Yeah, man, you just came back from the Hall of Fame, didn't you? You saw some real football, big man football, grown man football, didn't you?
Hey, man, it was. So, first of all, I expected a good time. I expected a unique experience, one that I had not had before. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is I got that and a whole lot more. I had an amazing time. You know what I'm saying? It was great to see. I didn't know what to expect. I don't know what these events are like. I don't know what the, you know what I'm saying, the individual players, their individual their parties are like. I didn't know what the dinner was going to be like, or mm-hmm. I didn't know anything. Like, it was a completely open experience, and I was just following along the schedule that was had. You know, my boy Brian Gant over there at UGA has been a dog since he played there. He grew up in Athens, born and raised. I've been a part of the dog program ever since. He got wind that, you know, UGA would be sending a few guys up there that Seymour invited. And, I was grateful to be one of them. And, we just had a good time, man. The first night, there was like a dinner. There was an enshrinement dinner. So you see all kind of people there. You see all kind of players, other Hall of Famers, people you haven't seen in a while, different, players you might have played with other teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, it was just really good. And then I didn't realize it was that much of a fan, I guess you could say that much of a fan friendly deal or a fan centered deal. Like, mm-hmm. It was a ton of people up there. Like, it's not that many Shrineys. What was it? 6-8 total, maybe, from different parts of the game. But all these people couldn't have been fat. You know, it was so many people at the dinner that they just spread us all out in different parts of this venue, and they mm-hmm. had the enshrinees come by and speak to everybody and wave, and that was pretty cool. And then Richard had his first party that night, the shop full of the finest cigars, good food, and the DJ people coming by. So Willie McGinnis, Rodney Harrison, old Sapp came by, Ty Law, Emmitt Smith came by. It's good to see all these other legends, other Hall of Famers mm-hmm. come by and show love to Richard. Then the next day, of course, the big, enshrinement, with all the inductees when they get their, the night before is when they got the check.
Right.
And then the inductees got their bust. They got to do their speeches the next day. It was cool to see them. I got to see my mentor, Jackie Slater, another Hall of Famer that was there. Got to see Calvin Johnson, one of my teammates from Detroit. You know, got a good chance to talk to him for a while. You know, that's my boy. I saw my boy Ray Agnew that I worked with in at the Rams in the scouting department. He was now an assistant GM with the Lions. It's always good to see him. Really good person. Just a whole bunch of people, man. Different. I took a picture with Ricky Waters, man. It was good. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's good to see people, man. They call the Hall of Fame, football heaven. Mm-hmm. But it's like the whole, for the enshrinees, they call it football heaven. They say football heaven is not opened up and they get to walk in. But man, it's football heaven for a fan, man. I know I played, but I'm a fan first.
Did you feel like a little kid?
Great.
Did you feel like a little kid?
I felt like a little kid, man. You're saying, you know, these guys not that much older than me, but it's cool to see Playmaker and Sapp and Smith, and you get to see Bocelli. He went in. You know, I saw, you know, I got to take a picture with Lynn Swan at Richard's party. Champ Bailey showed up, another dog. You know, another inductee. It was just a really good time, man. It was good to see. It was good to see Rich's family celebrate him, so he get his flowers. You know what I mean? So it was a really good experience, man. I enjoyed myself immensely.
Did you wear like P. Diddy white linens? How'd you go to the?
I was cool. I was cooling, man. Just little all black first night. You know, the next day. You know, you're at that stadium in midday, you cool it. So we got some polo and shorts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then that night, you know, I don't know what I had on, probably some jeans and another polo. Richard had his final party, which was even bigger. Really nice rooftop deal. His family was there. Nice DJ. All the other Hall of Famers walked through. Steve Atwater came by there. You know, it was just really a really good time. I got a chance to get away for a quick second and walk around the corner to Bryant Young's party, and I got there and Boyz II Men is on stage, man.
Dang.
Performing. Yeah, so yeah, they on the stage giving out roses and stuff. You know, to all the ladies, all the aunties, you know what I'm saying? They had that thing rocking, man. The boys still could sing. You know,
what did Seymour have? Did he have Ludacris? Did he have Ludacris banging on the stage?
No performance. He had one of his cousins sing, and she was blowing the house down. You know what I mean? At first, other than that DJ, just you know, good old folks having a good time. Good country folks, man. Like that's my type of shindig. Very, very nice.
Man, that's what's up.
Good weekend. For Bulldogs.
Yeah, man. I flipped it. I know you had put it on your Twitter, and I flipped it on 100 Sanford's Twitter. You know, a little video of you showing, you know, what was going on. I'm sure everybody was excited. I know I watched the induction. I always like watching it, man. But sometimes I'll turn it off because I don't want to start crying. It make you get emotional when you start listening to some of the stories
that
some of these dudes start talking about and telling. And like when Playmaker did his a few years back. I mean, that's probably one of the most famous ones, man, when he was really going in deep and had everybody in tears. But I'm sure
it's
that
real,
was
real, man.
Yeah.
There's one thing I don't think people realize about athletes at the highest level. And granted, we all are humans. We all go through things.
Mm-hmm.
But to reach the highest level of whatever your field is, fighting through certain adversities, that's a common theme. That's a common theme with professional athletes. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to, as a scout, we do background. And, you know, we dig in and we see where these guys are from, what stock they're from, who the parents are, what type of environment they come from, school, grades, all that. And you wouldn't believe some of the things some of these guys fight through and excel through despite of, like, you would be like, man, I would have crumbled. I would have crumbled at 7 years old or, or 11 years old. Man, some of these guys go through it. Some of these guys, you know, Richard has had his things to overcome. You know, the Sam Mills story, his wife's beating, that was really touching. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just to see how many people he touched. And Richard did amazing. I'm like, I was like, man, because if you know him, he's not very talkative.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? But man, he brought it out and hardly looked down any at the prompter or his pad or whatever. You know, he did a really great job with that. So, yeah, like you said, it's interesting to see these guys talk about their history, their upbringing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try to get there next year. I know we keep trying to do it as a family. I mean, my family's been Steelers season tickets for 50-something odd years. My dad got them.
We need to get
high
there, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, matter of fact, you know what? I'm supposed to be right now at training camp with Tim Worley because he hit me up and he knew I'm from Pittsburgh and everything else. He's like, come on, man, let's go to training camp. But I had to get back and do some things for work and then my son's birthday and everything else. But I'm going to hope to get there. But, yeah, I'm going to try to get up there to the Hall of Fame with my dad, my brothers, because we've been going to Steeler games forever since I was born. You know, so I've been to Three Rivers Stadium. I've been to Heinz Field, now Acushore Stadium. But family members that played for the Steelers, you know, so it's one of those things, like you said, it's like football heaven, right? And I think everybody that goes there kind of describes it the same way. Like when you walk in, you kind of feel like chills and in awe of all the guys that came. And not like, you know, they're gods or anything like that. But it's, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of energy in the room. It's a lot of energy behind what these guys have gone through, accomplished and done, yourself included. Because everybody's a Hall of Famer in my book. If you get to that level, everybody's a Hall of Famer. It's just that some did it longer, some did it a little bit better, but everybody's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Yeah, man, it's great, man. Speaking of, you know, I know we got a plan today. We got what we're going to talk about. But speaking of Steelers, man, my boy Pickens making noise, Jack. Pickens making that noise.
Yes, sir. I kept telling people, I said, he going to make a lot of noise in Pittsburgh, and my only thought is that Pittsburgh media is tough, man. They're real tough. They like to bring down, I ain't gonna say they like to bring down people, but they have a habit of writing the negative things. And I couldn't stand that negative stereotype they were trying to give him right away that, you know, he was a hothead, that he wasn't a good kid. And man, he was a freshman when he did those little, you know, things on the field and squirting the water bottles and stuff like that. But he's a grown man now. So I hope they just lay back.
Yeah, man. He's doing great up there. He spoke of Tim Worley. I saw a picture of him and Worley on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I got another dog up there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Is Tim stay up that way?
No, Tim's still – he's down in North Carolina. He's in North Carolina. So he was like, you know, where you stay at? I was like, I'm in Virginia. He's like, come on, man. I'll come through, pick you up. We'll go up to the training camp. I just didn't get a chance. Matter of fact, I was coming back from Pittsburgh when I think he was getting ready to go up there. So we just crossed paths. But, you know, I shot him out and gave him my love, said, hey, man, go up there, have fun. He's been taking pictures with Mike Tomlin and JJ, TJ Watt, all the players. I'm so mad, man. I wish I could be up there right now. But it is what it is. But, hey, but, man, before we get started and really get into it, the 100 Sanford podcast is powered by the Roll Up Network and our sponsor, Gramco, the Delta 8 company based out of Florida, founded by college football junkies just like you and me. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Delta 8, but you need to be. Gramco is the absolute leader in this field. They got some phenomenal products that you just got to try, and I'm here to tell you about it. They got the Wake and Bake coffee, the gummies, the vapes, and more. Simply the best on the market. So go over to thegramco.com right now. Use the promo code SANFORD25 for 25% off your order. No medical card is needed. Shipping is quick and discreet, but you must be 21 or older to order. So try them today. That's thegramco.com, thegramco.com, using the promo code SANFORD25 as the promo code, and you won't be disappointed. But I want y'all to remember this because somebody hit us up on the DMs. If you take a test, It will come up on a test. I'm just letting y'all know that right now. It's not no candy. It ain't nothing like that. But it will come up on a test, man. If you're trying to go for a jobby job, like Martin would say back in the day, you might not get that jobby job. Yes, sir. But yeah, man, that's what I couldn't wait till you got back, because I wanted to hear about that Hall of Fame experience. And I know right now you got that glow. You got, like that soul glow going on. You got that, that real glow going on. Like, you had a great time. But hey.
Yeah, great time.
Big thing just happened today. I wanted to throw this in here. We got a little news on the cocktail party. We were talking about that last episode, right? But here we go. Right. Now, all of a sudden, we can have some recruits at the cocktail party.
Big deal.
It's a big deal. To me, it's a big deal. Now, we put it out there on Twitter. You had people coming back saying, well, it's already in Florida's wheelhouse. It don't even matter. And I keep trying to tell people, to me, that matters, because I don't care where you're at. The dogs travel. Fans travel.
Yeah.
If you can get your recruits in the house, even if you're talking to them or not, and they can see you on the field doing your work, it's a big deal. What's your thoughts on that?
And that's what Kirby been asking for. Mm-hmm. That was his main reason for probably, I don't want to say anything that's not true, but I believe he was for home and home. Was he for a home and home?
Yeah, he's trying to get it to a home and home series at least.
Yeah, so I believe that's probably one of the main reasons, though, because you get the teams that play at neutral sites, they get at least the SEC teams, they get shut out of having that big recruiting weekend.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, if we play Alabama in Athens, it's right there. Amazing recruiting weekend.
Right.
You bring in your guys from anywhere. But you play in Florida, which is historically, a huge rivalry game in the state of Florida, where, they got recruit. They got high prospect after high prospect in that state.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To be able to have them come on over or drive a couple hours over to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal, and a big deal for recruiting. You know what I mean? So, I think that's huge. And I think Kirby is probably ecstatic.
Yeah, I mean, he should be. And, one of the things, like, I was sharing with people, because, again, you had people talking about, well, no, it's right there in Jacksonville's backyard. But people got to remember, we recruit a lot from Florida. We recruit a lot from that southern Georgia area, Alabama area, where recruits can get to. And like I mentioned, if a recruit is on the sideline, well, he can't be on the sideline. I guess you can give him tickets, and the coaches can't interact. So we're getting more news coming out of it. Regarding what's this all about? You can't interact
Is that the deal?
Yeah, you can't talk to him. You can leave the tickets for him and all that kind of stuff. But it's still a big deal, because I mentioned last week, I haven't been to the cocktail party. I've seen it on TV, right? I can feel the energy through the screen. You played in the cocktail party. You've been down to the cocktail party, so you know the
energy. My first one, a couple years.
That's right. So if I'm a recruit and I'm in the midst of everything going on, I don't necessarily have to talk to the coaches to feel like, man, this thing here is a pressure cooker. And then I said to some other people on Twitter, what if they got the same recruits on their sideline and giving them tickets for the University of Florida, but you're recruiting them and you go down there and you kick their teeth in? I mean, it's a free recruiting weekend for you. And last but not least, it's still a weekend that you have recruits there in the house, where before you didn't necessarily have them in the house. Now, let's be honest. There were probably recruits that were there before, somehow, some way. But now it's like, quote unquote, more legalized to do it. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a little bit easier. So I think,
man, people say that trip. Me and my mom drove down to the swamp, during my recruit. And, just to see what that was about. And so because it was fairly close proximity, relatively speaking. You know what I mean? I don't know, probably 5 hours to Gainesville from Macon, Georgia. Mm-hmm. But to have that opportunity, is great. You know what I mean? So, and it's probably going to evolve, you know, and when they figure out how to do this thing where they can maybe, you know, contact the players, and get, you know, see them on site, you know what I mean? But they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I even brought up another suggestion, which is even for Florida. I don't care what Florida does, if they want to do the same thing, but have a party bus. Have those boys in Athens, put them on a party bus with the families, have the bus trip down, sponsor the trip for the athlete and the family, like a recruiting trip, give them the tickets to the game, party bus comes back to Athens and continue the recruiting weekend, something like that. It's still like, you know, having those guys on campus and still like having those guys in the game. But like you said, it's going to evolve. We'll see what it evolves to. But I think it's a big time win. And it's starting this year. So in 2022, it's not like we got to wait a few years for it to happen. It's starting in 2022. So we'll see, because this is a big recruiting year for the Dogs, especially with Texas starting to get some big time recruits. You know, Oklahoma starting to pull some, USC starting to pull some, NIL, big deal now. So it's a big recruiting time period for the Dogs, but we continue to recruit well. But like you said, and like you started off, man, you know, camp has started. The pads are popping. Matter of fact, I think the pads went on today officially. I think those guys were in shells for the first couple days. I wish Graham was here, because Graham has some very, very good intel, but he must be working on some stuff right now. But I mean, we hear that everything is going well out of camp. No injuries. Everybody's safe. Right. We're starting to see some things develop in terms of some things we had even talked about. Stetson's still doing his thing. The running backs are doing theirs. The offensive line starting to gel. What are your thoughts after about a week of camp so far in terms of what you may be hearing and basically how this team is starting to gel as a unit as we got like 3 weeks until the first game?
I think one of the biggest things I've been hearing this whole off season and during the beginning of camp is that, you know, it may not be that big of a drop off on defense, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm hearing that those guys are chomping at the bit. You know, those guys up front chomping at the bit. You got three big pieces leaving with Wyatt, you know, Walker and Davis. You know, those are three big pieces to fill. You know what I mean? And so you got some guys taking over there. And honestly, I even heard someone say that there probably won't be a drop off, and if anything, they might get after quarterback a little better. The thing about, you're not going to replace Jordan Davis with Jordan Davis. You're not going to replace Devontae Wyatt with Devontae Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to replace Trayvon Walker with another Trayvon Walker. Those are three first round. You do your best. Some people can stop them up like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But typically, when you got guys that are studs like that, you can't replace them with the exact same stud. But what you can do is replace them with guys that may do certain things better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You might replace Jordan Davis with a guy that might have a little more wiggle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Facts.
He might be a more dominant pass rusher. You know what I mean? And what I trust this staff to do is figure out what this current roster does well.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which may be something totally different than what the last iteration of this rock, of this defense did. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the offense too, because I believe we're going to have, you know, just and more on events than that last year, but I'm really interested to see what this new look, so to speak, personnel-wise, defense is going to be.
Yeah, and I think Kirby mentioned that. You know, Kirby brought that up, like, hey, you know, y'all need to pump the brakes on this. We're not going to have this dominant defense. Not saying it's going to be dominant, just like you mentioned, but it's just different. I mean, and you don't replace Jordan Davis. I mean, we see the videos coming out in the NFL with him pushing back a center 15 yards, blowing him up. I mean, that's generational. That stuff doesn't happen normally. A man that big, that strong, that fast, you know, with that much power doing what he's doing. And now he's in the NFL, you know, getting that NFL diet and NFL training, which is going to even make that man more deadly. But like you said, it's just you're going to see different pieces, you know, mixing and matching of all these recruits that we've recruited over the last 2 to 3 years now coming into their own. You know, we talk about Zion Logue. We talk about, you know, TID, Ingram Dawkins. It's their time. And now you still got Jalen Carter, who we didn't even see full time last year. We don't know how good he can really be. We knew in passing situations, or there was situations where he was dominating the offensive line, you know, splitting gaps. But how good is he really? I think I've actually said that he could really truly be on par if he gets his body to a whole nother level, kind of like old boy from the Chargers, Aaron Donald. I mean,
from the Rams.
Rams.
He is, you know, just talking to some people when we first got him signed up. Just, you know, one of my boys who I trust in that arena, you know, high school recruiting, said he was the best player in Florida, bar none.
Yeah.
When he came out. You know what I mean? And he showed why once he got on the field. So I'm looking forward to him to get his full-time reps. And he's going to wreak some havoc this year. You know what I mean? Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's money here. You know what I mean? I wish we could keep him another year. Maybe pull a Jordan Davis. You know, but, you know, this is probably his last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I know he wants to prove that he's worthy of one of those top 10 picks.
Yeah, and he's a good kid too, man. I mean, he's got his head on straight. You know, he's been doing a lot of off the field stuff, not just NIL type stuff. I mean, really in the community doing things, backpack giveaways. He's been on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram with his mom, and like different videos of different things he's doing. So he's a mature kid, but he's ready. You know what I mean? I think, quite honestly, if he was able to have gone to the NFL this past year, he would have been another first round pick. I mean, so it goes to show you how good he really is. But I'm like you. I mean, there's so many different pieces to this defense that's going to be different, even in terms of the linebackers. I want to see, you know, and I'm hearing great things already about Nolan Smith, different things we're going to do with Nolan, because now it's his time, right? Even though he's always played, you know, that jack linebacker where he's stout, you know, stout against the run and things like that. But I really think that they're going to allow him to go off because there's so many different pieces and so many different things that they can do schematically with all the athletes that they truly have on defense. It's going to be special. I know another thing that has come out of camp has been just the progression Mitchell. They said Mitchell's going off, man. AD Mitchell's going off.
Hey, listen, we got all the tools. I was talking in the text thread today about him, me and one of my homeboys, my homeboy Big Snacks, and boy Ryan, both at the George together. He's probably next in that line. You know what I mean? You have Pickens, and he's probably up next. You know, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I know they might want to spread the ball out some, so I don't know about the volume. But I think at the end of the day, if they want to feed the man, he's going to be on some lists at the end of the year, you know, in Biletnikoff and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to see what he does this season, because he's already showed me a lot. You know what I mean? Some guys just have it. He's one of those guys that has it. You know what I mean? He's shown next level, you know, tools already. So we just lucky to have him.
You know, last year, I think it might have been episode 4, 5, or 6, something like that. we had T.E. on, Terrence Edwards, and we asked him because he was at, you know, he was at camps and whatnot. We said, you know, give us a sleeper. He said, I'm going to give you somebody who ain't a sleeper to me. And the first name he brought up was Mitchell. First name. He said that one right there, he's going to be the one. And then we were like, wait a minute, hold up a second. We got Burton at the time. We had Pickens, who, I mean, he had torn the ACL, but we had Pickens at the time. He said, nah, man. He said, this kid here is special. If he really puts it together, he's going to be something that Georgia hasn't seen in a long time. And we're coming from a guy that was, you know, still the all-time leading receiver at the University of Georgia, and Terrence Edwards, who trains, you know, boys daily to be great down there in Georgia. Yeah. So I'm hearing great things about him. Matter of fact, they're saying that between him and Ringo, he's been taking the top off the off the field on Ringo a few times. He's gotten past Ringo a couple times. So, and that's not a knock on Ringo. I know a lot of people are like, well, Ringo at corner, is he really the stout corner that some people think he is? But sometimes you just got an elite wide receiver or a guy that's got your, you know, that's got your buttons. So that's he's that dude.
I heard a long time ago, man. I don't know who said it. It could have been me. I don't know. But, you know, we was might have been at practice. And they coached. He on scholarship, too. You know what I mean? Hey, you ain't going to win them all.
Right.
He on scholarship, too, buddy. You know what I mean? So, shoot. You're going to lose some.
Yeah, man. I know another person that's putting in work is our boy, Ladd McConkey. I mean, he's been... Mm-hmm. They showed that video of the wide receivers working out. That boy's special too, man. And I hate this. This is the thing he hate. He gets open, right? But yeah. Please stop. People stop putting him in the category of a New England Patriots style receiver just because he's a little white guy and you think he's going to go to New England and play the slot. No, the boy can ball.
He might. He might. Hey, you guys made a living up there, man, in that slot.
Yeah, but he's proven, you know, I mean heck, he's going on the outside.
That's what I was just about to say that. He's proving himself on the outside, inside. You know, it's in everyone's best interest to be as versatile as possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? And you also get to create certain matchups with certain people when one is able to play different, you know, different positions. Right. You know what I mean? So I hope all of them can play different positions. You know what I mean?
Yep, I hear you.
We're stacked at that position right now between him, AD, Blaylock, still got Rosemary Jackson. Who else? All the tight ends. You know what I mean?
Kieris Jackson, Blaylock coming back.
Kieris Jackson.
Yeah, man. Arian Smith. I mean, you talking about Burns. Yeah, man. I mean, we're deep. We're not even including the freshmen with Morissette and Bell and that sort, those sort of guys that can, much like Ladd, can come in and do different things.
Yes, and I heard about my guy from Houston.
Dylan Bell. Yeah.
I heard he's showing some, like he probably has to play this year.
Yeah.
I heard he's showing up like that. So, like, it's only one ball, but I'm glad we ain't got a shortage. You know what I mean? For the last, it seemed like every year they want to say Georgia has a shortage at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, man, we got to find some receivers. Man, we got receivers.
Yeah.
For sure. You know what I mean?
And I'm going to tell you this. You know, what was funny was that when you look at the depth last year, it came into play because you lost Pickens, right? JT Daniels went down. The running backs weren't as deep as what they should have been. And all of it, you know, with Kendall being hurt and dinged up a little bit, the depth came into play. And that's what I'm looking at this year because, like, you talk about a Dylan Bell. What happens? Lord forbid, again, knock on wood, anybody goes out the receiving core or a guy like Ladd goes down or whatever it may be. There's so much depth in the room and guys that can play similar type of roles that you don't really skip a beat. Now I'm gonna go back in time. Now look at Alabama when their receivers go down. And I don't want to hear that nonsense about, well, they would have won the national title had their receivers going down.
Listen, let me pause you right quick. That's Alabama. You know who they got after their top receivers? More top receivers. Some of these cats you ain't never heard of. Facts. until they get on the field at Facts. Alabama. And that's at Facts. Every position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know who these guys are until they get on the field. Well, those guys that you see balling out now, they were on the team.
Mm-hmm.
they were on the team, so I don't want to hear that. But back to you, because I hate that excuse. Ain't no excuses when you're a Power 5 top-tier recruiter, you got depth. It's just Facts. As simple as that.
Yep, and they got locked up. And then I digress, but they got locked up. Our boys put them in shackles after they did get their chance to shine. Because you know what's funny about that? I'm going to stop again on that because Bama fans didn't have anything to say when Tua came in and threw the touchdown pass. Bama fans didn't have anything to say when it was Devontae catching a touchdown pass, you know, and he was a freshman, but all of a sudden – you know, their receivers go down and their backups can't perform the way they were supposed to perform. No, they just weren't prepared. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Our boys came up. They were prepared. You win a national title with a Brock Bowers, with a Ladd McConkey. You know what I mean? With a Stetson Bennett, who's a walk-on quarterback. So I don't even want to hear that stuff about Alabama, what they want to say. But
exactly. They wouldn't even have started a quarterback at the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we got a 5'10 quarterback walk-on. You know, marginal arm, but he fights.
Yeah,
he beat the bullet.
Yeah, man.
He did.
And last but not least, you know, I wanted to address this running back room because you talked about last episode, ain't enough balls to go around. But what I'm hearing too is that the offense is getting off. You know, they're doing their thing, but the running backs are starting to get off. Kenny Mack is getting off. I'm hearing that Kendall is running, you know, as the number one back. Kenny Mack is like the two backs. Basically, it's the same type of situation. You had like with Zeus and Cook, it's Milton and Mack with Edwards as the third back. But the other kid who's getting a little bit of shine is Paul, man. Not Bron, not Robinson. They said Paul's putting in work. You know, and I think he's like a combination of all the backs where he's able to run, he's able to pass catch. If Dale gets these guys, you know, pass blocking, because you know Kirby, he's not playing no games. You can't pass block. You ain't getting the rock. We're going to see a lot of special things coming out of Athens, man. And I'm really, really super excited by what I'm hearing about that.
Really, really is as it pertains to the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deep backfield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You said it's not pro ball. You got access to all facts
mm-hmm.
on game day. You don't have to just figure out which three and which auxiliary back you're gonna dress on game day.
Right.
You got access to all of them.
Yeah.
Matt, Milton, Robinson, Paul, Juan, whoever else they got there. You got access to all of them. And so we're loaded in that department.
And you know, the other thing is, too, what I'm hearing is that they're pass catching. Now, see, to a certain extent, they were a little bit predictable last year. Mm-hmm. Zeus wasn't that great of a pass catcher. So when you knew Zeus came out the game, you knew Kenny Mack was coming in and, you know, maybe he was going to catch a little flare out the backfield. You knew when Cook was in, he wasn't running between the tackles. We all knew he wasn't running between the tackles, right? But with this group, the first three, you have no idea what's going to happen because all three of them can run between the tackles, run on the outside of the tackles, can catch the ball out of the backfield, good pass blockers. It can get scary. It really can. That's why I'm so excited and looking forward to this season.
And I'm sure, you know, Monken is going to find a way to use them in multiple sets. You know, put a couple of them out there at the same time. You know, put Milton and Mack. You know, in the backfield to get motion one out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you got a mismatch on, you know, in the slot or whatever. You know, you're removing some guy, you're removing a defender from the box when you do that. Now you got a light box. to pound with that, you know, 230-pound back. Hey, man, it could get ugly.
Man, most definitely. But, you know, you started off the show, you were talking about my man George Pickens. And it's mm-hmm. funny because you're also hearing coming out of camp, there's a lot of scouts in the building. And I think during the season, you know, periodically scouts come anyway. I mean, Kirby's always got practice for the most part closed, but he'll allow some scouts to come in. But it got me to thinking because they also had on Twitter the other day, now this package that UGA can send out to recruits. Now they can really put on there all these guys in terms of in the NFL, the national championship trophy, how much money was signed in contracts. And then it got me to thinking, the impact. What is the impact to you? What do you think the impact is that now UGA can use in terms of recruiting based off of now winning the Natty? Guys, you know, I mean, really putting guys into the NFL first round, second round. I mean, too many guys. What do you think is the impact now as a result of all this stuff happening?
For one, it doesn't hurt. it only helps. You know what I mean? Yeah. Guys have a goal. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, it's a, you know, being a professional football player is a respectable living. You know what I mean? Some of the greatest guys I know, you know, put on that helmet with me. You know what I mean? Really, it's a really good living. So for that to be your aspiration, now, is it likely to happen for you? No. You know, you're just keeping it real. You're more than likely not going to be NFL football player. That's reality. But if that's your goal, why not choose a place that prepares you for that on the highest level ever? They have the record, you know, for one draft. The most players draft ever in the history of the draft. You know what I mean? And that takes some development and not only this has happened with Kirby and even before Kirby. Georgia really has a great track record of just putting solid guys into the NFL.
Yes.
They're good people. They leave Georgia good people. Mm-hmm. You don't hear much about Georgia guys getting too much trouble mm-hmm. in Georgia. And you know, as a whole, you know, most everybody's really good, you know, off the field. And most everybody's good really on the field. I looked up 1 year and you got like, you know, even if you count money, like there was a Georgia guy in the top five in a number of positions. You had like Stafford, you had like Gurley, you had like Justin Houston. Mm-hmm. You had like these are top level guys, you know, and they're all out of Georgia. You know, right. You get really good solid football player, solid two exceptional football players out of the University of Georgia, and I think the league knows that. You might want to attach yourself to that if it works out. You know, if that's your choice as a youngster going to school, if you like Athens, and you like what you can get out of, you know, you like that you can win at UGA, you like the coach, you know, not a bad choice.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. And you know what's funny to me, too, was that, and I debate with people all the time, when you look at some of these other schools, because you mentioned Georgia's got guys at top tier at almost every position, and they're just good guys, period, on the field, off the field. Some of these other schools ain't. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I'm not throwing those shots at Alabama. I'm not throwing those shots at Ohio State and Florida and some of these other schools, but they get drafted and a lot of them burn out. A lot of them don't reach the climax of what most people projected them to be. There used to be a time where Alabama was balling out. I remember the linebackers when they were throwing in linebacker after linebacker. People were starting to call them linebacker U. And it's like now you don't even see a linebacker from Alabama. Now it's skill position guys, and those guys ain't even really doing too much. You had the running backs. I mean, Derrick Henry. But outside of Derrick Henry, who else? Well, I think Ingram's still playing. Ain't he still down there in New Orleans, I think?
Yeah. They still have a lot of guys in the NFL. A lot. Probably, you know, and probably between them and Ohio State probably have the most right now. Georgia probably hanging in there 3-4 or whatever.
Right.
And they just have a lot of it's just really just a testament to Alabama, though. Like, the face of their teams are kind of changing.
Yeah.
You know, they got the 5-star skilled players now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On the outside, at receiver. And that's been for the last.
That's true.
You know, that's been for the last almost 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go way back to Julio. You know what I mean?
That's what I meant by that. Everything's kind of changed. Yeah, it used to be the defensive stuff. Now it's offensive stuff.
Yeah. Kirby's kind of building it the old Bama way.
Mm-hmm.
Style in the middle. You know what I mean? But they really get into their position. So that's what allows you to be great when you got studs that, again, taught how to do everything right. Hard to beat, man. Very hard to beat.
Yeah, I just think it's special. I think it's real special. When you can throw that package out there, and I'll admit, I was a little bit envious of Alabama at some point. You know, they would always show their facility, and they got their trophies, and they go down the hallway. They could show how many guys were in the NFL. And yeah, that's something to sell. But I think when it comes down to it, that when you can do it now with a coach that you would probably think is a little bit more personable, with a staff that's a little bit more personable because Kirby wants him to be personable, with Athens that sells itself. If I'm a kid, you can't go wrong. It's like kind of like what you had mentioned. Why would you not want to take that shot and go to a place that is producing? Because there's guys that are going. I mean, it's basically all you got to do is be the next guy up and you're going to get your shot. and I'm like, if that's your goal and you want to make it to that next level and get that opportunity for that big time check, that big time opportunity to live a lifestyle that you never dreamed about, go down that lane.
Mm-hmm. Do everything the right way. Because more than likely, if you're there, you're an exceptional athlete. So you're probably going to have what it takes physically to make it to the next level. Just get there and do everything right. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about you basically write your own ticket.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing I really want to talk about tonight, man, it's something that. It's not really UGA related. It's going back to Oklahoma. And I know that you've been on a collegiate level, pro level, but you got Coach Gundy, Cale Gundy, who resigned after reading quote unquote shameful and hurtful words off of a player's iPad. Mm. And then I thought about it and I said, okay, this guy's been there for a while. Venables kept him there, right? Because he had a chance. He could have left and went to USC. But.
Mm-hmm.
One, what are your thoughts on it? And two, because you've been in that locker room, you know, and it's such a close, unique situation. Most people don't understand what athletics is like. You know what I mean? If you don't play it, you never played athletics at even a minor level, you don't understand how close that is. Is his career salvageable to you? Because I don't even know how he said it, the indications about it.
That's a good question. Salvageable. That's a discussion that has to be had between his next future employer. He has to show some type of contrition, has to show. It's going to be some people that have to make a big decision for him to be, you know, reinstated again. I don't know if he's good. The thing about coaching. I guess it always depends on what you get in trouble for. You know what I mean? Because you got your network, and your network as a coach can afford you a shot at another job.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have something hanging over your head, it's a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can I hitch my boat? Can I let this guy hitch himself to my program? And what you know, I don't know who his coaching tree is, who the he's part of. Just throw out a name. Just see if he was you know, connected to, you know, Dabo Swinton. Dabo's gotta sit back and say, what's gonna happen to me? You know what I mean? If I bring this guy in the locker room, is it worth it? You know what right. I mean? Mm-hmm. Or can I bring in this guy right here, this young guy, you know, who's probably suitable for, you know, today's kids with nothing on his name, mm-hmm. you know, bring him in, or do I want to bring in this guy? I got to explain to millions of fans why I brought him in.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be tough. I don't know if any coach, school president, any AD is going to be just itching to have the answer to bringing him on to your squad, you know. So because what he did, you know, it's just there's a couple of things at play here. There's a lack of awareness. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And two, it's just, you know, there's this fascination with the N word for some white people. You know what I mean? And so right. it's like, oh man, I want to say it. And it's crazy because I saw a video about it today, and this young man, he explained it so well. He's half a white guy. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And he said, my mom was white. She never had that. Urge, that desire to, like, what's your motivation behind, you know, I want to say this word, or I should be able to say this word for you say. Like, it shouldn't even be that serious for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is off limits. Mm-hmm. You know, some groups of women call themselves the B word. They get with their home girls. Be this and be this. And you're like, I'm that B, you know what? Let you as a man come round the mouth and get into step to a group of women
facts.
On the sidewalk and be like, all you be, it's going to be a problem. It's going right. to be a problem.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, they would, you know, push back against that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the N-word,
right.
you know, some of them want to be able to say it, you know, without impunity. And the world don't work like that. The world is the world is the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. You got to be smart. Like, mm-hmm. come on, man. I don't know if he's married or whatever, or his kids or somebody, or his mama's got to be like, you fool.
I mean,
well, now you're at home with me.
I mean, the thing that I thought about too was that, because you mentioned, you said, well, what's his coaching tree, right? So then I had to go and I had to look up his background. He's former Oklahoma quarterback, right? He's Mike Gundy's brother. So, you know, I mean, we all know how wild Mike Gundy is anyway to yeah. begin with. So he's always shooting off his mouth. So I could actually see yeah. Kel probably, you know, shooting off his mouth occasionally, whatever he says. But he's been at Oklahoma a long time. We're talking about a player. We're talking about a coach from 1999. So he's been there a minute. And for them to, quote unquote, for him to resign. Now, obviously, nobody just resigns. I mean, there has to be some form right. of pressure for you to think that, hey, man, I got to get up out of here. For you to resign, right. it must have been a little bit deeper than what the media is kind of discussing. Like you just read some yeah. shameful and hurtful words. And not only that, we all got these coaches that we're like, okay, my coach is cool. My coach, he knows, quote unquote, the lingo. He's down with the brothers. He's down with the, you know, the white guys, whatever it may be, right? For that room to react the way that they reacted after he picked up the iPad, it must have been said with some form of attitude behind it. Because otherwise, yeah. they would have just been like, oh, come on, coach.
Listen. These guys, you can't take Joe Blow off the street and put him on a football field and think he's going to know what to do
mm-hmm.
and how to do it, where to step, where to go, when to do this. It's some intelligent guys in these locker rooms and these meeting rooms. They ain't stupid. They know it. They heard it. They knew the motivation behind it. And you know, guys ain't having that.
Right, right.
Guys are not having it. Like, you just can't do it. And just think about, you know, just think about some of the parents that keep up with college football.
Mm-hmm.
And you got this guy on your, on your staff, and you're bringing in the top O-lineman in the country. And you hurt that O-line. You're bringing some top O-lineman in the country. And this, you know, and this kid's parents is like, I know that name. Honey, somewhere, where do I know that name?
That's right.
When you Google Tail Gundy,
mm-hmm.
you know what's going to show up first?
Exactly. Exactly.
If that kid, you know, I would hope it'd be any race kid. If that kid black,
mm-hmm.
that trip ain't going to go how you think it's going to go. They're going to go home. You probably won't hear from them again. Do you want that on your staff? Heck no. The name of the game is recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's guys all over the country vying for all of these jobs. Some of them are not on these staffs because of maybe what the head coach might have to deal with off the field. You know what I mean? How do I explain this? You know what I mean? When I Google this person, when a parent Googles this coach, what's going to come up? You might can do that on the pro level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Gundy might have to, you know, I don't know what his relationships are with pro football. He might have to leave college football altogether.
Yeah.
He might be coaching high school somewhere. You know, he might have to leave college football because you can't mess up the church play. Like, it's not gonna. It's who's gonna be willing to do it? As soon as it comes up, the top linebacker in the country, his parents in your office, and they, hey, coach, as you can see, we're black family. What's up with your? I don't even know what that is. What up with your whatever coach?
Mm-hmm.
Now you stuck. You got to try to defend what he did when there's really no defense for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You probably not going to get that player. You know what I mean? And parents hold weight in these shits, too. You know what I mean? So it's going to be tough for him. You know what I'm saying? But he had a good run. You know, he'll be all right.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought about, too. I mean, when you said that, you know, what do you do if you're a family? Now, obviously, there's a lot of families that, yeah, they're involved, but they allow the kid to make the decision. But if you're a real football family, there ain't no way in all of God's creation that I'm allowing my son to even go sit in a room with a university that's even allowed that. It was evident he had to go. But then my second thought was, what happens in the immediate? I mean, there are some recruits that are up in the arms, up in the air right now. Anthony Evans is one of them. You know, he's the four-star wide receiver out of Texas. I'm hoping that he makes a decision to go to Georgia. You know, I mean, obviously he may have built other relationships with other coaches or whatever it may be, but he's a kid. Cal Gundy was the wide receiver coach. So we'll see. I mean, maybe that impacted his decision. Maybe it didn't because there's a lot of guys that go for different reasons.
Oklahoma knew what was up. They cut it off quick.
Real quick. Yeah, I mean, it happened within 24 hours. He was gone.
It is prime recruiting time, Jack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to win at all unless you have the guys. And they are not trying to jeopardize getting the guys. They trying to, if it come between a five-star quarterback and the coach that's been there that's, you know, a wide receiver coach is that, let me tell you who's going to go first. That coach is going first. He's gone. You know what I mean? So,
especially in Venable's first year. This is Venable's first year coming over from Clemson. So I thought that to begin with, one of the reasons why Cal Gundy was still there, I mean, all those ties. I mean, he's brought in a lot of top players, wide receivers, running backs. I think Joe Mixon was one of the guys that actually stood up for him and said, yo, he was my coach back in the day. But Hey, man, but like you said, if it comes down to a five-star, top four-star, he's going to be gone.
That's why he was there.
And yes, sir.
If you were there because your ability, you'll be gone because being alive there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It works both ways. You know what I mean? The sword slice both ways.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, man, we got more ball to talk. I mean, we can't do it tonight, but we got a lot more ball to talk here for the next 3 weeks before the games actually start. We're going to have some special guests to come on, some former dogs. We got some we actually got some guys from the University of Oregon coming on soon. So we're going to talk Georgia, Oregon as we ramp up into that. Little recruiting news. We did get a recruit this past week. So in case everybody's not aware of that, Tovian Mazzell, the running back out of DeMatha Catholic here. In, DeMatha, I say here because I'm in Virginia. But, yeah, DeMatha right down there, down on the road down there in Hydesville, Maryland.
I was asking my boy Cato June about, yeah, you know, my boy Cato is from D.C.
Yeah.
Now coaching up with the Colts. But he's from that area, and he was like, man, you know, he's supposed to be tough. He's supposed to be that dude.
Yeah.
You know, he said the Mather puts out running backs. So hopefully we got us one.
Yeah, man, I gave him a quick shout out, because the Mather, I mean, literally, when I say over the fence, my aunt lived right next to the school. So growing up, we had an opportunity as a family, me and my brother, to go to DeMatha. My dad at one point thought about, man, let me send him down there to DeMatha to play basketball, whatever. And then my dad actually made the choice for us not to go. So I've always been a fan of DeMatha High School. But, yeah, he's that dude, man. When you're talking speed, power, I know we didn't get the running backs, quote unquote, so far in this class. It's 23 class, but he's a kid that's 24. And who knows, kids are reclassifying, you know, these days. Heck, when me and you were in high school, look, you went straight through. There was no extra classes and 4.8 GPAs and all this kind of stuff. Kids are now ramping up their credits to actually be able to come in early, play early. You know, it's kind of like that rat race, try to get to the league as quick as possible if they think they can get there, especially if you're at a top-tier university. But that's the recruiting news on that. Hopefully, there's some decisions coming up next week. We never know what can happen. I think Gibson, the safety out of Alabama, is a kid that's up in the air right now. A lot of speculation he's going to go to Tennessee, but we'll see. There was also speculation he was going to go to Georgia. So who knows? I mean, Kirby is and his staff are some monsters when it comes to recruiting, and our boy Fran Brown is putting in work. But that's it for tonight, man.
From a DB, man, this is this. You know, there's a few schools that I'm gonna go to. You know what I mean? Like if you got your choice, there should be some no brain. You know, should be a no brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When it comes to that,
out, Georgia,
yes.
Alabama, you know what I mean? Like there's those are your choices.
I don't even understand the rationale. I mean, I'm gonna say this before we even get off. I don't understand the rationale sometimes behind some of the schools of thought. Because if it's me and somebody says, hey, man, you're going to be an actor and you got your choice between Joe Blow and Denzel Washington, I'm going to Denzel Washington. You know what I mean? If I'm going to become a singer, am I going to Michael Jackson or am I going to, you know, the guy that's singing down on the corner? I'm going to Michael Jackson. So if you're a DB or if you've got a certain skill set, even a defensive lineman right now, right? When you see Georgia putting them out, Alabama putting them out, whatever it may be, why do you even make that choice? I mean, I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it is what it is. I think everybody's trying to tell them, you know, we can develop you. We can make you into what you need to be. But sometimes the proof is in the pudding, man. Some people are just doing it, and some people are doing it at a high level. But that's just my thoughts on it. But hey, man, before we get out of here, you got anything else you want to tell the people?
Nothing else, man. I'm looking forward to, you know, the season can't get here fast enough. Looking forward to bringing on some more guests. I guess our wires got crossed. I was talking to Champ in Canton. He was like, what happened? I was like, dude, I told you what time. Like, you never responded. So hopefully we get Champ on here soon. And we got some other people that have committed you know, kind of want to keep him a surprise, maybe. Or yeah, who knows? We'll see. But, you know, we got to get him on here soon.
Yes, sir. Well, man, I had a good time, as always, with you, brother. It's a good time seeing you. I'm glad you're back in the house. And I'm sure your girls are happy their Uber driver is back in the house.
Listen, they say to me now, Daddy, are you done? I need something.
All right, man. Go take care of those ladies, man. I'm going to sit there and get back and take care of my wife and my kids. But I'll holler at you, holler at the people next week, holler at you. And as always, see you at 100 Sanford.
All right, man. 100 Sanford, we out.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.